This is the third of our series on prayer, and we've learned that prayer is an instinctive part of human nature, haven't we? That probably every person at one time or in another in their lives makes an appeal to God, who may be up there somewhere, for intervention or help. We've learned that also that prayer in many religions is more about self and an unknowable God. But that Christian prayer is about a relationship with God, who has created us to reflect in some marvellous way his image. That we need consistent prayer of the kind that we find in the Bible, that requires personal discipline, to say the least. And that prayer is both in the secret place of our own room and in going about our daily lives. That prayer can be about praying over and over the same things with persistence, as well as those short, sharp prayers that we call out to God as we go about our daily business. Perhaps I should encourage you to pray some of those short, sharp prayers. I don't know if you've still got the stone in your pocket that you had either over the summer or a week or two ago to remind you to be praying, but sometimes we can be so caught up in what we're doing that we forget that God is with us and he's just waiting for us to call out to him to come to our aid. It was just over a month ago that I stood at the Tikvah Memorial with my elder brother, where my great uncle's name is scribed as B.B. Clear. That's Bernard Brock Clear. He was a handsome 30-year-old postman from southern Cambridgeshire. I think he was a policeman. And we do have a picture of him now, which is going over to Tikvah. And I'm not sure whether it's in his postman's uniform or his policeman's uniform, but he looks a rather handsome chap. But he was called up to serve in the 7th Battalion of the Suffolk Regiment. And on the Somme, less than 6 months before he died, he wrote a piece which he called a soliloquy. He's talking alone with pen and paper. And well, it was never really talking alone, because he was talking to God. And this morning, he's talking to us as I share some of his experience. A soliloquy. The north wind blows, the snow falls fast, to troubled souls comes the wintry blast. No peace has man that he calls his own, no peace in nature or by hearthstone. It's war and hell, and hell's weird cries sure leapt o'er earth and reached the skies. The roar of cannon, the shriek of shell, the stricken, the wounded, they hear death's knell. England calls, in voice both loud and clear, from fen, hill, dale, the men are here, ready, aye, ready, fire, sun, grey hair and youth, fighting for loved ones, fair home and truth. It's war, war with its curse and pain, husband, son, sweetheart, you know not when again, with smiles and tears, the story you tell, how you passed to life from hell. But the God of love, who ever knows, can peace, great peace, bring from our woes. Trust him, and high above with splendor bright shall shine heaven's beacon, guiding star of light. Today I want to explore more of what it means that prayer is a conversation with God. And that it starts with God, and he wants us to continue that conversation with him. So first of all, prayer is answering speech. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are the speaking God. You spoke, and now we have our being. You declared your creation good. You said we are the crown of your creation. Help us today to grasp what it means to be in fellowship with you, the ultimate, real and living person. May we discover the delight that Adam and Eve had of walking with you in the cool of the day. Thank you that in the midst of the horror 100 years ago, men knew of your presence with them. As we face different uncertainties today, may we too know through prayer your presence with us. Amen. Alan spoke last week, showing us that the God of most Eastern religions is impersonal. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4 that the Christian's God is love. If God were impersonal, then love, which can only happen between two or more persons, would be an illusion. If God were one person, then love could have only become a reality after he created other beings. But in Jesus' conversation with his disciples in the upper room, we can see plainly that the relationship of Jesus was with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And that existed before he came to earth, in fact, before time began. One fundamental characteristic of Christian belief is that God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If we look at John chapter 17, the prayers of Jesus, we find evidence that love was expressed between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in words. And in verse 8, Jesus says to his Father, "For I gave them," that's the disciples, "the words you gave me." Jesus there is in a God conversation. And in Matthew 24, we find the significance and power of Jesus' words. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words," says Jesus, "will never pass away." So we should be cautioned about the use of mantras or wordless hyperconsciousness of Eastern religious practice and even so-called Christian meditation. Christian prayer is to enter into a personal relationship with God through speech. Let's, for a few moments, consider God's words and the nature of his speech. What can we learn about God's word or his speech from the Old Testament? When God says anything, it's equivalent to what he intends. In other words, God's words are accompanied by his action. So in Genesis 1, when God says, "Let there be light," there is light. And when God gives to various characters in the New Testament a new name, that new name constitutes what that person will become. For example, Abram and Sarai. This elderly couple are given new names, Abraham and Sarah. They were old codgers, long past childbearing age. And yet they became parents, and from their offspring a great nation of God's people. Abraham means the father of multitudes. So what God voices in words is the same as what God does in action. God speaking and acting are one and the same. Alan made reference last week to verses from Isaiah 55, which, if you come and would care to join us for morning prayer at 8 o'clock on every other Wednesday, these words from Isaiah are read. "The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the rain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry." Now, when you look out of the window and see it pouring with rain, you might think, "Oh, well, at least the garden's getting watered." But perhaps you should remember the following verses. "It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper wherever I send it." When you and I see anything, we have to back it up with action, don't we? And sometimes we get a reputation for being a bit forgetful, because we say we'll do something and it just doesn't happen. But when God speaks, he tells us in Isaiah that his words will always achieve the purpose for which he has spoken them. When we fail to abide by what he has spoken to us for the conduct of our lives, we break the relationship we have with God. The implication of this is that when we know it, we're in need of his forgiveness in order to restore that broken relationship. And once again, it is God who's spoken first, and he who longs that we would respond. At Christmas, we're familiar with that text. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Jesus, through his incarnation, death, and resurrection, has made us a way to receive that forgiveness. When we put our trust in God's Word and live by it, it's the same as putting our trust in him. We're unconscious of the way we speak, or we learn to speak, aren't we? I dare say some of you have learned other languages, and you're probably aware of the effort that you needed to put in order to learn that other language. And I remember one particular phrase from my French lesson. I hope I can say it correctly. Je frappe ma tête la surface inférieure de la table. That was a Google translation, I have to admit, because I seem to remember it slightly differently. But Danielle is smiling, if nobody is. But yes, I did bang my head on the underside of the teacher's desk as he got hold of my collar and tried to knock French literally into my head. I don't remember much French as a consequence. As we imitated our parents, so our 2-year-old grandson is fast mimicking his parents. He's getting lots of positive feedback and adding to his vocabulary every day. His words aren't all correct just now. Crocodiles are crocodilos, and coconut milk is something else equally cute. His speech is answering speech. Rabbit. Okay. Crocodile. Crocodilos. Can you see? That's how we all learn. Speech is first answering speech. Just like our talking to God is meant to be. God has spoken to us long before we ever spoke to him. If the goal of prayer is a real personal relationship with God, then we must immerse ourselves in the speech of God. Where do we find the speech of God? In Scripture. Yeah. And it's not in Hebrew and Greek. It's in English that you and I can speak. So we can understand God's speech if we read it for ourselves. It's only as we immerse ourselves in the language of God, and in particular God's speech, and the answering prayers, maybe of men and women of God, which we can find in the Bible, that we'll begin to learn how to pray. One of my favourite writers is Eugene Peterson. He concludes that the prayers of the Bible were, and I quote, "not prayed by people trying to understand themselves. They are not the record of people searching for the meaning of life. They were prayed by people who understood that God, not their feelings, was the centre. Human experiences might provoke prayers, but they do not condition them. It is not simply a belief in God that conditions these prayers, but a doctrine of God." Doctrine is what Christian tradition has taught us from the Bible is the truth about God. Loving my wife doesn't mean that I fully understand her, haven't ever been confused, misunderstood her, or been infuriated. All this comes from my own imperfection. It means having a covenant relationship with her that I never give up. So too, as we come into an intimate covenant relationship with God, we'll find we don't understand him fully. But as he has promised never to give up on us, so we are to immerse ourselves in his word in order to understand his character and respond. The more clearly we grasp who God is, the more our prayer is shaped. What is essential in prayer is not that we learn to express ourselves, but that we first learn to answer God. Let's just take a moment and let the Holy Spirit reveal to us what he's been saying to us that he wants us to express in the way we live our lives.